3 hours of best of from whatever comic relief. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day. It's 34 seconds after the hour of noon in this, the month of April. In the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day. We are live here from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of Johnson 970, a proud part of the CBS radio family. Appreciate it. If you want to get on board today, and why wouldn't you, my friends? Why wouldn't you? 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Your comments, clarifications, conventions, death threats, all of that. 503-733-2970. It is Wednesday. We're glad you're there. We are now 15 days. 15 days away from Listener Party 9, as yet to be determined title-wise. Coming up Thursday, April 20th, Sabalas Mount Tabor, 49th, at Hawthorne. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be, yesterday we were having some off-air discussions about some of the things that are in the pipeline, but we're going to be doing some prep. I can't talk about what it is, but we're going to be doing some, is it preparatory? Whatever. We're going to be doing some work this weekend. We're getting ready for it. It is coming up 15 days from now. Thursday, April 20th, 7 p.m. Sabalas Mount Tabor. We'll talk more about that later on because the pile of suggested names for Listener Party 9, now they continue to pour in. It's flowing in here like the Tigris and Euphrates. So we'll go through those later. We've got the news pile, which continues to grow. Now, at one point, the news pile only contained stories about an armless man and Liza Minnelli's sex life. It's now grown. It's gone beyond all recognition now and all comprehension. It's like some sort of giant newsy landfill. We now have the Star Wars kid, hygiene gone wrong, when Brady's go gay, and what else? Oh, and Sharon Stone is making Basic Instinct 3.
I know.
No, but it's okay. It's okay.
It's not going to be okay.
No, it's all right because she's directing as well. So She always wanted to direct. You can put your fears away, my friend. Let me allay any apprehension you may have. Good times. All right. It's 503-733-2970. That's all in the way. Plus, Jim Roop is going to be here to talk about a guy who blew his hand off slamming down a 40-millimeter shell on his desk over and over and over and over again. He didn't quite die. I was kind of watching the websites earlier this morning, hoping that he'd slip into some sort of a coma or his body would suffer some sort of sepsis. That we could make it a snuff watch, Darwin watch, something like that. Didn't happen. But, you know, the day's not over yet. So Jim Roop will have news about that. Gary Baumgarten's going to talk about that new and completely pointless 9/11 film, which I guess who could have seen this coming? They're screening it in New York. And it's a whole lot. If you remember when all those people died and everybody's all upset about it and they're pulling the film, I could have told them. You don't really need a focus group to discern that that's going to be a problem. We'll talk about that. And Matt the Law Lindland will be in studio a little later on. 2 o'clock hour, we'll talk about Sport Fight 15, which is coming up Saturday, April 8th at the Rose Garden. That is all on the way, my friends. And if we have time, we'll get to new music from your friend Wing. Rick Emerson Show joining us today and every day, the lovely Sarah X. Dillon.
Hello.
Sitting there. How are you today?
I am doing well. How are you
doing? See, now you're the one who's awake and I'm the one who's not. It's not that I'm not awake. It's that I slept all badly yesterday. I got this whole, you know, it's like when you feel heavily drugged, like when you load up on NyQuil or something before you go to sleep, which is a bad idea, by the way. I didn't load up on NyQuil, but I've got exactly that same feeling where it's like somebody hit you in the head with a shovel.
Did you ride a bike today after taking that?
No.
Or drive?
No, I didn't.
He's decided to stop riding his bike.
You shut your mouth about what I've decided to stop
doing.
Sure.
How's that bus pass?
My bus pass is fine.
You know what? There really is no excuse. You look outside, it's beautiful, yet you're taking the bus.
It seemed very, we're in that awkward place where we talk about weather. We're in that awkward place, though, where you wake up in the morning and it seems so very, very cold. So cold.
Oh, it was windy where I was this morning.
But then you leave it. Like yesterday, I wore a sweater to work. So I was thinking, oh, it's going to be frigid all day. It's going to be nice and frosty. I better bundle up and wear layers. So I put on this thick-ass sweater. And I'm leaving yesterday. I had to go on a sales call to Gresham. That was fun. 2 hours in a car with a sales guy going to Gresham. So we're driving along, no air conditioning, sun beating down, life stopped on the highway. It's 140 degrees inside the car. You're getting the salesperson stink all over you. But the weather is very deceptive right now. But no, to answer your question, I did not bicycle today. I didn't drive, though. I did split the difference. I did take the bus. Well, that's not actually true either. Lara drove me. My wife dropped me up note here. Let's move on. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for today in the City Desk here.
An Oregon college gets rid of its cheerleading squad. A man seen along with a clash hit London Calling on an airline flight panics passengers who report him to authorities as a prospective terrorist. And John Kerry, who was for the Iraq War, flip-flops. And our first in the series of Good Morning Oregon Coin News 6 recaps, an Arizona golfer is attacked by a rabid bobcat.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Later on, we're going to be recap. Is it good morning? Good waking? What the hell is it? No one knows.
Wake up, Oregon.
Wake up, Oregon.
All right. Should be called Tune In, Oregon. Please. Oh, please. Oh, please. Here's what we'll do. Later on, we'll do our recap of Wake Up Oregon. We're going to read the bobcat story. We're going to talk about it. And then we will give you the chance to create the pithy one-liner that comes out of the story. We will let you play Anchorman for a day. You will come up with the zany one-liner that you follow the story with. And we'll see how it stacks up against those of real anchor people. It's 503-733-2970. We only hit you because we love you, Sarah. Because if we leave you, no one else will want you, baby.
Oh.
That's all on the way. And I should know, by the way, that I am playing through pain. I am suffering an injury today. Because I...
Oh, you worked so hard.
You should shut your hole about what I do.
I'm sorry, have you already worked 4 hours today and then bicycled to work?
No, why you gotta be all... Has somebody been away from the therapist for too long? When's the last time you saw your shrink?
She's back tomorrow.
When is the last time you went, though?
Like 2 weeks ago.
All right. I think somebody's running on empty.
Oh, look at you. Do we have to, like, fling insults back and forth here?
Somebody's sanity jar is reading dangerously close to empty.
I don't have one.
Sarah needs therapy.
I think that somebody had plans to go shopping with me today that are now canceled.
I'm just saying that we care for your mental health. We want to make sure that you're stable and not, you know...
That's why you're trying to get me to lose my job.
I'm not trying to get you to lose anything. We're trying to bring a little color and vitality and spark into an otherwise dreary existence, Sarah. That's what we're trying. We're just here. That's what we do. I had a whole amusing anecdote to tell, but I guess that's fine. I guess I don't need to talk at all. Ladies and gentlemen, at the City Desk, your personal savior, Tim Riley.
Top to bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting. Oh, what a story this is. A Department of Homeland Security official is in hot water for allegedly seducing a child over the internet. Deputy Press Secretary Brian Doyle was arrested at his Silver Spring, Maryland home after he made contact on the internet with what he thought was a 14-year-old girl.
When are you going
to
learn?
Be an undercover detective.
It's always a detective. Look, not that I'm saying that I know this or that I've learned this in any sort of personal experience. When is the last time you heard about a child actually lured or seduced or what? Where is it? How's a 14-year-old even? They don't even drive. When are they going to bicycle to Maryland to meet your perverted ass? It's never a 14-year-old girl. I know I shouldn't be. I sound like I'm giving advice to would-be child molesters, but please. Just simple logic. Just two and two in your head. He's a Homeland Security guy?
Yes, he is.
You had to at least go to a community college for that. Mm-hmm. You gotta learn. You must read newspapers. It's always some burly FBI guy sitting there in bad khakis at a Motel 6 talking to you over a chat room. That's always what it is. In no instance is that ever gonna be the 14-year-old double D cheerleader that you think you're talking to.
Well, Polk County, Florida Sheriff Grady Judd outlines this sting operation.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Doyle Judd?
Yes, it is.
We had our undercover detectives on AOL chat rooms with a profile, and Brian Doyle, the Secretary for Homeland Security, approached our undercover agents thinking they were a 14-year-old girl and asked to engage them in sexual conduct.
Okay. Well, there you go. Oh, and this was in Florida, too.
And he gave his cell phone number.
There you go. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I did have another Florida story here, but I'll have to get back to that later.
No, because I read the story about the Homeland Security guy. And it's just all very disturbing. Because wasn't it a whole lot... I mean, I'm not... I just don't understand. leave aside the whole issue that I don't understand what happens to you, that that's like a thing that, that's a thing that you decide you want to pursue a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know where in your head you've, like, what's gone wrong, who touched you with what foreign object was placed where on your body, that that's a thing that you got to pursue. I just don't understand how you even, it would even, casually, first of all, let's think about the, about that's your job. Like, your job is to be some guy, goes on and pretends to be a 13-year-old girl in a chat room who's looking for hot, hairy man love from government officials. It's just all, I can't imagine how you would interview somebody for that. How do you even ascertain whether someone has the appropriate job skills to be able to execute that profession? Is that, what kind of a, if I was on All Comedy Radio, I could make a whole, like, 40-minute bit out of this. Well, what does that job interview sound like? Where they're trying to find a guy who can go on and pretend to be a horny 12-year-old. It doesn't make any sense. Let's move on.
Former Iraqi President Saddam Hussein has been cross-examined for the first time in his trial against humanity.
Trial against humanity.
During questioning, Saddam rejected accusations from the judge that children were among those he murdered.
You know that there were some minors amongst the 148 persons who had been sentenced to death by the Revolutionary Court. I would not try someone or sentence someone to death if he's a minor, even if my eye was taken out.
It's okay, they look like they were 18.
Meanwhile,
they were asking for it.
That could be. British anti-terrorism detectives escorted a man from a plane after a taxi driver had earlier become suspicious when he started singing along to a track by the punk band The Clash. Detectives halted the London-bound flight in northern England and Haraman was taken off. The taxi driver became worried on the way to the airport because man had been singing along with The Clash's 1979 hit London Calling, which features the lyrics... Now war is declared and battle come down, while other lines warn of a meltdown expected. Man told British newspapers the taxi had been fitted with a music system that allowed him to plug his MP3 player, which began playing The Clash. I didn't like Led Zeppelin, so I decided to go with The Clash.
All right.
The report was made with the best of intentions, and we don't want to discourage people from contacting us with genuine concerns.
But did they actually arrest him?
No, they questioned him.
They questioned him. Right? That's like that that thing that you, if you ride the TriMet, if you're like me and you ride the bus to work, yes. Trying to save fossil fuels and trying to contribute to a healthier America and a future for our children, you ride that thing where it's like, and you see these everywhere now. It's like, if you see anybody anywhere doing anything suspicious, please call in. Please alert if you see, you know, treason is death. And all of those, like, everywhere you go. I was at the airport, and, when is it? It was, like, 6-8 weeks ago, something like that. And at the airport, they've got those signs everywhere. They're, like, three times as many as they ever used to have. They're, like, please inform on your neighbors. If someone you know is untrue to the government. You know, so it's all very creepy.
And they have that little sign on the train that says, information gladly given, but please do not talk to the driver. And the driver's hermetically sealed. Behind these doors, and you never see him anyway.
I don't even know what the driver does. I mean,
he honks the horn.
But, I mean, is that... I mean, do you ever wonder about that? Do you ever wonder if they're even capable of stopping that train? You know what I mean? Like, when you're downtown, and the TriMet's coming along, and the train starts to move...
I mean, that train is crawling like a mile an hour.
It's like, what is the... I always wonder... It's like when you hear the railroad trains, you know, the regular trains that are going like 100 miles an hour, and they're 75 tons, and the guy's there honking the thing, and you know, it's just pointless. You know, there's no way anybody's stopping that sort of a thing. But it's the same in the subways, where the guy, he's like you in your suburban home. He's just hermetically sealed inside this weird metallic egg on which he drives the TriMet. He can't be spoken to, seen. We don't even know that there's a driver there. It just could be the T-800 inside driver.
Yeah. Well, defeated presidential candidate Senator John Kerry, a Democrat of Massachusetts, says the U.S. must set a pair of deadlines for Iraqis, get a new government set up and running by May 15th, and agree to a U.S. pullout by the year's end. I thought they already had a government. And an election. And several elections and several governments.
I don't really know.
Well, moreover... Kerry writes that if the Iraqis fail to heed his warnings, the U.S. should pull out immediately, leaving the Iraqis to fend for themselves.
Oh, no, John Kerry is threatening us.
Aren't the Iraqis fending for themselves already?
We must act now. Well, I don't even understand. There's that whole thing where they're talking about our allies in Iraq. We've got to band together with our allies in Iraq. And I'm unclear about who... I think everybody's in clear, actually, about who our allies are, who our allies are not.
Well, we do, but they're all hermetically sealed inside their forts. They don't come out for their own safety.
Everybody, I mean, it's like...
It's like the old days of the British colony.
You know the whole... You know what Iraq is? Iraq has just turned into one of those bad Brady Bunch reruns where there's the white stripe painted down in the middle of the boys' bedroom because Bobby and Peter can't agree on where the teddy bear should be put and who, you know... The whole country is just confused. But now that John Kerry's on the case, which, by the way, leads me to this thought. I will... One of my eternal regrets about the last election, and just because the country seems to be spiraling into a dung heap, but just from a comedic point of view and a show content point of view, I will always regret that John Kerry was defeated in his desire to be president, because we had a Kerry watch theme that we never got to use. Because if you remember, all the way through the campaign, all the way through all the, you know, the primaries and all that, we could never come up with anything for Kerry. We had somebody create, it was like a "My Name is Slim Shady" kind of a thing, but it had... I'm sorry, I'm distracted because Sarah's got a half-naked woman up on her computer screen.
No, you sent this to me.
Who's your friend?
You sent this to me.
No, I didn't. Who is it?
I don't know. You forwarded it to me. It's something about a boob job.
Attention management. I don't know what Sarah's talking about. I would never use the CBS radio computer system to forward sexually explicit or erotic materials, as that's a violation of the term sheet that I signed here as part of my employment with CBS radio.
Oh, yeah, I signed that too.
Yes, I did. Oh, it's a MySpace thing. Oh, it's that Jessica girl.
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk about that later. All right. This is what I'm talking about, by the way, where Tim and I are involved in a heavy discussion of the day's issues, and Sarah's just busy looking at bosoms on MySpace.
I'm listening.
All right. My point is that we were never able to come up with a Kerry watch theme, and so now I've got... But, like, the day after the election, it was like the goddess of irony descended upon me, and the day after the election, I came up with one. I was finally able to figure out the perfect Kerry watch, and now I can never use... I got to bring it in. And we should do a whole day where we just do a pointless, outdated, old Kerry news, just so we can use that theme. Because it pains me that it exists and we're never able to use it for anything.
Well, I'm trying to pay attention to the news here. I'm just going through my emails, and this one comes from Les Moonbees.
Oh, yeah.
Dear Mr. Riley.
I have no idea who you are.
Today's a historic day for CBS and CBS News. And being a CBS News director in your own right, I'm sure you'll be interested to note... This morning, Katie Couric, one of the most trusted and beloved news anchors of all time.
Announced
she'll be joining our faculty, or family, this fall as an anchor and managing editor of the CBS Evening News with Katie Couric.
Thank God.
And as a contributor to 60 Minutes, and as a host of a number of CBS News specials throughout the year. We cannot tell you how thrilled we are that this multi-talented journalist will be joining us. Broadcasters with the credibility, skills, and popularity of Katie are few and far between, as you are yourselves. To our news division in our company, it is a significant event in its own way.
Fantastic. Maybe they can get Jesse Camp to be her co-host.
Oh, and a couple things. She played a leadership role in establishing the J. Monahan Center for Gastrointestinal Health at New York Presbyterian Hospital.
The best part is they sent us this. Jared, did you get this morning?
I haven't checked my work email yet.
When is the last time you checked your work email?
I check it, but I haven't...
Les Moonbees sent you an email.
He did?
Yes, he did.
Okay. No, I never get anything in it.
If by you mean occupant. If by you mean whoever happens to get this. It's like all this stuff. Look, I got this thing that arrived at the front desk. I don't have time to talk about this now, but it's some book, some author. And I got this... AM 970 KBBT. I have no idea how many iterations ago the station we were KBBT 970.
Oh, I think in the 80s, probably.
I have no idea, but clearly somebody...
I didn't even get an email from him.
Oh.
You're not the news director.
Well, I meant to tell you, Sarah, that...
You're invited to a meet and greet at a swank New York hotel tonight.
The best part is that this memo that we got about it is like 14 pages long. I mean, longer than anybody in their right would ever read.
She has anchored many breaking news events over the past 15 years.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Including the Timothy McVeigh execution.
All right. Let's just, let's move on, shall we?
Well, advertisers will be interested in Couric's move to the CBS Evening News. Claire Atkinson, television editor of Advertising Age, says CBS has been struggling with its evening news for quite some time now.
That's news to me.
They've been struggling for a long time to dig themselves out of the number three hole behind the ABC broadcast and the NBC broadcast in the evening. So, obviously, having Katie is a great addition for them.
All right. Okay.
Meanwhile, Jessica Alba forgave Playboy magazine today for making her an unwitting cover girl after founder Hugh Hefner sent the actress a personal apology and pledged to donate money to her favorite charities. Elba had threatened to sue Playboy after the magazine printed a photo of the bikini-clad actress from her 2005 movie Into the Blue on the cover of its March issue.
What is Into the Blue?
It's a movie.
Yeah, I understand, but what is it? Anyone? Anyone? That's not that surfing movie, is it?
Yeah, she was just prancing around in a bikini.
Excellent. Here's the thing. Jessica Alba betrays a complete and total ignorance of Playboy magazine, because any guy, every guy out there with a pulse knows that this is a typical tactic to Playboy magazine. I love Playboy magazine, but this is...
We used to get it for free.
This is
in a
Dave Paul.
Brown wrapper.
It used to come to Dave Paul. And if you know Dave Paul, who was one of the old news guys when we were at Intercom, Dave Paul is the least likely person you could possibly imagine to receive Playboy magazine. I mean, Dave Paul is...
It was labeled as a public service announcement every month.
Dave, we played that smooth jazz music a few weeks ago. Really, Dave Paul is one of those guys you think of when you think of who would possibly DJ on a smooth jazz station. That's the voice that immediately comes to your mind. It's sort of like, it's just sort of like a big box of Farina being able to speak. But this is a bait and switch tactic that Playboy magazine's been using for years. I remember, and I got fooled by this the first time when I was like 9 years old.
But nobody buys Playboy magazine anymore.
That's not true. I buy Playboy magazine. I subscribe to Playboy Mag. I don't really want to, but I do. It's a whole long story. The retarded light bulb kids called my house, or what? You know what I'm talking about? Where they call and, "Hi there, sir. Would you like to give money to support the differently
Special
abled
Olympics?"
Yeah, well, it's something. It's like differently abled kids or crack kids or.
Did you really just call them the retarded light bulb kids?
You know what I'm talking about? Those light bulbs they sell you that are made by retarded children.
I didn't know they were.
Does anybody...
Are those the ones that burn out quickly?
It's just a bag of glass.
The ones that you buy at the dollar store. Now, I'm not saying they don't make high-quality light bulbs.
You just follow the sound of the sirens to find them.
Where is the factory that these are made?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I just know it's filled with... I know it's filled with blunt, rubberized corners everywhere, though.
Well, I guess it's good for dexterity.
We've gone several layers into this. They used to sell...
Not anymore.
This is one of those segments that'll show up on a tape somewhere when they have me in a room with a consultant. And the consultant, you know, some guy who's like 75, will go, "I don't get this kind of show you're doing. We're going to fire you."
Back when I was in Seattle in 1976.
Totally. Did I ever tell you about when I worked on KGR in 1952? Now that's radio.
And I used to work in L.A. and nobody can figure out where.
Very quickly. So they used to sell, and I know because it was my job to sell them. I used to have a telemarketing job. This is years ago. A telemarketing job where I would cold call people in the phone book. And this sounds like a joke, but I was pitching them light bulbs manufactured by handicapped or otherwise not altogetherly abled people. And the light bulbs, I swear to God, you know that little wheelchair symbol that they put in the parking space? And you buy the light bulb and it had like a wheelchair guy on the top of it. And that's how you knew and I was never able to figure out who the target market for that was. Presumably just the gullible. But
Did
that was my...
Any?
I would call... No! Are you kidding me? Would you buy those? Hi, I've got a light bulb made by a guy with hooks. Do you want to put some? No, screw that. Here, it's a thing that glows red hot 24 hours a day when it plugs into the electrical outlet.
I can see these things with third-degree burns testing these things in some factory somewhere.
And it's made of sharp bits of metal and glass. Oh, and it was made by a retarded kid. Would you like one? Hello? Hello? Yeah, that was my job.
Well, that was enough to bring up the bumper music.
I don't even know how we got onto that.
Oh, we're talking about Playboy magazine, which is all related.
We'll let that be the punchline. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickeverson.com. Coming up, we have... other things. CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten is going to join us. Later on, Matt DeLaw, Little End, we'll talk about Wing. We'll talk about Listener Party 9, 15 days away. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. To recap, to fight my way back. Here's the deal. I was a telemarketer. I had to call people up and try to get them to buy light bulbs made by the differently abled. Now, the reason I subscribed to Playboy magazine, which is where this whole little deviation started, is that, I don't know, about 5 months ago, they called, some guy in a building, they called my house, and instead of selling light bulbs now, it's something where they sell you magazines, and then a portion of the proceeds goes to, I don't know, whatever. You know, the kids born without a butt or something. They're born without something.
Oh, these Playboy magazines are stapled together by the handicap. Instead of making light bulbs anymore.
So, but I immediately go, they say, well, would you like to? And first of all, I don't subscribe to many magazines anymore because you got the internet. It's not that I'm not a magazine fiend. I am. I mean, there was a time, like everybody who works in the radio, I was subscribing to like 55 different magazines every month. But it's all online. There's just no point. And so I go through the list of, like, things I want, and I start with Blender, which is the finest American music magazine there is. And then they don't have Blender, so I go to Mojo. I ask about Q! Just the things for Britain, nothing for Britain. And so finally I say, do you have Rolling Stone? Yes, we have Rolling Stone, which is a magazine that no one can. Aging hippies and fashion spreads. That's all that magazine is now. It's pointless. It's completely useless. But it was the best of a bad lot, and I'm not going to give money to Spin. I don't even think Spin magazine still exists.
I get it for free.
Does it really?
Because I bought a mixer from some equipment company back east.
Just giving it away. So I bought Rolling Stone, and I bought Playboy, which is still pound for pound the best American magazine ever. I mean, it is still the single best magazine in America. But my point is Playboy aficionado, you realize that you get bait and switched because they always put some chick on the cover, not in the magazine. When I was like 9 years old, Dolly Parton was on the cover. And you're thinking, aha, it's finally the grail. And you open it up, and it's just like Cheryl Teagues or somebody. Let's move on. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now from the city that is new and Yorkish, it's CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thanks for the applause. It's very nice of you.
I'm sorry?
Nothing. I'm just kind of applauding myself here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
If I don't, you know, do it, nobody will. So
we'll make that funnier in post-production.
All right.
Hey, how are you, man? How is life in Manhattan?
It's nice. We got snow today.
It's in June or something. It's April, I guess. But
yeah, I know. We're looking for opening day at Yankee Stadium. We hope it's not snowing then. I think that's next week. So.
Well, you guys got this, and I could have told everybody this was a bad idea. In fact, I did tell everybody this is a bad idea. Where this film, Flight 93? Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
And it's this. This is not the Oliver Stone film, right? There's an Oliver Stone 9/11 movie coming out someday. But this is the one about that flight over Pennsylvania that was forced down somehow?
Right, the one that was supposed to crash into the U.S. Congress, but instead the passengers took over the flight and forced it into a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania.
This is the Let's Roll Todd Beamer plane.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody thought, they got the idea into their head that this was exactly the right time that Americans want to turn out in droves, buy popcorn, and see a movie about 9/11 terrorism, which seems really ill-advised, in my opinion. And I think that's being borne out by the reactions of people going to the theaters, is it not?
Well, what happened was they're showing the trailers. The film has not been released yet, but they're showing the trailers in the theaters. And here in New York City, people are taking offense to the trailers because it's conjuring up memories of what happened here on 9/11. And a lot of people are distraught about it. And one woman actually went to the manager of the Lowe's Theater not far from where I am at Time Warner Center, and she was crying. She was so upset by it, and he said, we're yanking the trailers. We're not going to do this to our customers.
And I mean, look, I'm making a prediction right now. This movie's never going to be released in the theaters. I'm making that prediction. It'll go right to DVD, right to Showtime, something like that.
I don't know. They claim that they're going to move forward with the distribution, so we'll see. Supposedly, the people who, I haven't seen it, but supposedly the people who produced the movie actually consulted with family members of those who died on that particular flight to ensure that there would be a degree of sensitivity. They didn't want to come across as exploitative. So,
yes, how could anybody possibly think that that's what was happening?
Right. So, but, you know, here in New York, perhaps more so than elsewhere, but I'm sure that people have sensitivities about this in other places in the country as well. But here, for obvious reasons, where so many people died that day, it's difficult to conjure up these memories. And, you know, you go to the movie to go see, you know, whatever film you went there to see, and you're sitting there and you're munching on your popcorn and you're getting settled into your seat, and then all of a sudden, boom, this comes up in front of you. It was shocking to some of the people, that's for sure.
I just can't, I mean, it's 2006, 5 years ago. I can't even imagine like a time when everybody's going to be wanting to see that. I mean, I think maybe it's the media saturation, as I said, the basket in our head labeled 9/11 stuff is just still full, and I don't know. I can't really conceive of a time anywhere in the near future where that's going to be on the top of anybody's like things to do with the girlfriend this weekend.
Right.
List.
Well, look, if you have a movie about the flight, that particular flight, and people decide that they're going to go to it, then at least they're expecting those kinds of images. But if you're going to see another movie,
if you're going to see a Rob Schneider film,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then all of a sudden this comes up during the previews. Well, you know, then they weren't anticipating that's what they would see when they went to the movies, and some people find it extremely disquieting, and I can understand those sensitivities, having been here watching the towers come down myself.
Sort of a reverse bait and switch there. All right, well, I'm making my prediction, because you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of that...
Reagan movie?
The Reagan movie, Dutch. I was also going to say it reminds me of that Adrian Lyne remake of Lolita from a few years ago, where it's like they show the trailer, or like somebody somewhere, like one guy in one room saw the movie, and everybody freaked, and they were just like, screw this, there's no way. And then they just they shunted it off onto Showtime, who just delivered it like in a brown paper package to video stores, where it sat dusty and unloved on a bottom shelf somewhere.
Well, so, that could happen. You know, there are more and more films that are being... I mean, some of them are actually being released simultaneously on DVD and in the theaters. They're experimenting with that now.
No, the Olsen twins.
Yes, everything the Olsen twins will ever do till the end of time. Gary Baumgartner in New York City. Have a good day, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you later.
All right, there you go. CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgartner. Okay, do you think he heard about the mustache?
No.
You don't think so? I noticed he was standing still today. Wouldn't try to do any walking while talking.
Well, you're talking about 9/11.
That's true. I guess he's not going to be especially jocund. Well, it's not really an up-with-people kind of conversation. Rick, this subject line of this email is more therapy fantasies, please. Rick, can you please get Sarah to wear some revealing clothing to see her hot, hot, sexy lesbian shrink?
My lesbian shrink or my shrink that's married with kids?
Well, please. Elton John was married. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
So leave us our fantasy. So that's happening tomorrow?
Yes.
So tomorrow, now before the show or after?
Actually, before.
Really? What time? Really? What time?
I'm not going to tell you what time.
You can just, well,
it's before the show.
I'm saying it's before the show. So
between the two jobs.
Okay, so it's like around 10. Okay. So would you say, now let me ask you this, when you go to therapy, can we do like a 10 questions thing, like not even 20? Can we all ask
you're probably going to reverse all the good work that therapy's doing by sitting here and harassing me about
it. Well, you know, and everybody wins in the long run. More money for her, more show prep for me.
Sure.
You get to, you know, do more life work or whatever it is they call it. So would you say that when you're in therapy, the time is spent more on discussions of this job or discussions of your job at Coin? Or other?
Well, I've only been at this job for a few weeks.
Right, but I mean, this
also,
segment of your life.
A lot of it's about work and about trying to, like, balance everything out and figure out what
but
I'm
mainly
doing.
About working at Coin.
Could
be the situation in the Middle East, for all we know.
That's true. We've talked about that quite a bit.
The Iraqi occupation must be troubling.
So what if we're just allowed to ask you, like on the days following your therapy, if we're allowed to ask you, like, three questions?
No.
Two.
No.
Two questions and one follow-up.
What kind of questions?
I don't know. Whatever we determine to be relevant and sexy.
Sexy therapist questions?
Look, because here's the thing. If you say no, we're just going to have to make up our own conversation. And I'm going to have to go get some chick from the front desk to play you. And somebody else be playing the therapy. And there'll be a lot of, saxophone music playing underneath and lace curtains blowing in the wind. All right.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how the questions go tomorrow.
All right. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Which brings us to our Coin 6 Wake Up Oregon recap.
Do we have music for this?
I'm not sure that we do.
Sadly, no. We do not. All right. I'll have to find something.
Should I read this?
Go ahead.
All right. A 69-year-old golfer is undergoing treatment for rabies after he was attacked by a rabid bobcat in Arizona. Jerry Crown and a friend were playing golf at the Skyline Country Club in Tucson when the cat came out of the woods and attacked Crown. The two men killed the cat by beating it with their clubs and then called 911. Paramedics took Crown to Tucson Medical Center with bite and claw injuries. Rick Flores of Rural Metro said the actions of the men saved Crown's life.
The actions of the golfers today possibly saved the life of the golfer that was attacked.
This doesn't sound like a very uplifting story.
That they used their golf clubs. It's very fortunate that they had something like that nearby that they could use.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do right now. So it's the phone number is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Now, I need somebody out there. I can do it myself if push comes to shove. I've already got one in my head because I'm a hack. I need somebody out there to generate a glib witticism that you will utter after the end of the story. So this is a story about, what is it, an old guy? It's got like the magical
thing. 69-year-old golfer.
It's an old guy. He's golfing. And then there's a kooky animal anecdote. And he's got, and he lived, right? Nobody died except for the thing. All right. So here's what I need from you. I need you to call up and give me the best glib one-line witticism that you would utter at the end of this story if you were an anchor on Coin TV. That's what I need from you. 503-733-2970. We're only halfway done. There's more material to come. All right, Tim, you want to finish the bobcat story?
Wildlife removal specialist Chris Clark says his company should have removed the bobcat from the Skyline Country Club after employees called to complain instead of chasing it back into the woods.
Hindsight being 2020, yes. We would have taken the cat away. Knowing what we know now, we would have. But you can only make decisions based on what you know at the time.
Okay.
He should work for the Homeland Security Department.
She seemed a lot older. She seemed at least 15. All right. So there you go. It's 503-733-2970. Should I take right here? All right. So there you go. So it's best... if you just, like, picture yourself shuffling some papers, turning to your right, chuckling a little bit while wearing a sport coat, and then, like, saying the glib witticism about the bobcat story. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
It's Dave.
All right, what is your glib witticism?
Well, if he wasn't a scratch golfer before, ha ha.
Oh, that's fantastic. Excellent. Hey, I want you to, now, apparently there's, the Coin website is maybe not always up to date with who works there and who doesn't, but I'm telling you, they are hiring, my friends. So you ought to be talking to them right now. Thank you.
You bet, Rick.
All right, there you go. That's far better than mine. Mine wasn't nearly that good. Wait, let's see if this, look at this pouring in. We've either got a really smart audience or the bar is just set really low for this. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Curtis.
Hi, Curtis. So do you have a glib witticism in the style of a Coin 6 anchor?
I do indeed.
Okay, so the bobcat golfing story ends with what line?
It sounds like that golfer went from hitting a birdie to hitting a bobcat.
No, I'm sorry, Chris. I'm sorry, we have to gong you on that one. All right, thank you.
Yep.
I appreciate it. We really should get the gong sounder. Like with those party names, like when the guy calls up and he's like, how about the Listener Party 9? Ass! You know, or whatever, we can just gong the guy right out. Let's do one more here. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Pat.
Hi, Pat. So what is your one-line glib witticism about this bobcat golfer story in manner of a Coin 6 anchor?
Catastrophe divert.
Oh, you know how I know that's good? Because it makes my skin crawl. All right, there you go. It makes me want to kill myself. That's how I know it's worthy of television anchor. All right, thank you, Pat.
No problem.
All right, there you go. That's so much better than mine. I'm not even going to utter mine now. Well, we had scratch golfer, catastrophe.
Yeah.
Come on.
Mine only works. Mine only works when the other anchor next to me does that whole, oh, yeah, that's right, you know, response, which means that, like, I didn't really listen to what you said, but I'm just sort of going, uh-huh. It's like a Bobby Dooley sort of response. So mine only works this way. So, Sarah, I'm going to give my glib witticism.
Okay.
And you're going to go, oh, that's right. And then you'll turn to the camera and say, in other news. Okay?
Okay.
Let's do a run-through. Give me your response.
That's right. In other news.
Okay, but you got to do it with like a little laugh at the beginning.
That's right.
Oh, okay. Oh. Okay. All right, so Tim, read the final sentence of the story.
Wildlife removal specialist Chris Clark says his company should have removed the bobcat from the Skyline Country Club after employees called to complain instead of chasing it back into the woods.
Yeah. You know, I find that you typically, when beating a bobcat to death on the golf course after suffering severe gouges, you're like, you want to use a 9-iron for that typically, or, you know, a wood, but nothing above a 5.
Sure. In other news.
See? Wow. Come on.
That was just like the real thing.
Yeah. I'm weathered.
Swear to God, if you close your eyes, it's like you're there. All right. It's 503-733-2970. This has been another installment of the Rick Emerson Show Recaps. Wake up, Oregon, with Coin 6 News. Here's Tim Ronnie.
Well, Slobodan Milosevic died of natural causes. According to an investigation by Dutch public prosecutors, some Milosevic supporters, including his family, believed he was poisoned to death in The Hague, but not so. It was just a natural thing.
Oh, by the way, we've got some via the email. I really should read these. How about, as an intro, Rick? It's a case of me-ouch. how about this one? Okay, here we go. Okay, and again, is it this one only works with the shuffling papers? And thanks to the quick thinking and actions of the two friends, it looks like the golfer will be okay, and he'll be able to play through the rest of his life. Here's Sarah with the traffic. Come on, that's good. We should just take over that whole station, man. We'd double their share. All right. Let's go back to Tim Riley at the city desk.
Well, anyone who would accuse David Hasselhoff of abusing his wife must be crazy and or on drugs. At least that's the anchor's contention in new court documents, in which he implies that his estranged wife, Bach, had a drug problem and needs to be under the care of a mental health professional. The former Baywatch star also suggested his wife of more than 16 years should retain a doctor who is, well, good at psychiatry. Bach's lawyer, Gary Mitchell, denies that his client has a substance abuse problem. Well, Hasselhoff's lawyer says David categorically denies that he and his estranged wife didn't get along as well as she says. As a matter of fact, his attorney said the only person who broke his wife's nose was her own plastic surgeon.
Here's Sarah with traffic. We should just end all of our news stories with that today. And then like a little ding, 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 or whatever their sounder is, whatever noise they make. Here's the thing about that David Hasselhoff story. And I think about, it's like when Don Knotts died. I thought about this a lot with Don Knotts. Think about the fact that there's somebody out there who had sex with Don Knotts for like 60 years. Because he was married, right? He had like 15 kids or something. I mean, just... And I'm not going to reenact this now because I don't work for All Comedy Radio. But imagine somewhere out there, there's a woman who got to see the O face of Don Knotts repeatedly, over presumably many times a week, presumably multiple times in one night occasionally, for like five decades. So it is with David Hasselhoff. That's one of those file not found things where your brain tries to conjure up some sort of an image of David Hasselhoff engaged in tender act of love, and it's like your brain just sort of spits it back out. It's like when you try to shred a skull can or something, and your office paper shredder, it just gets kicked right back out. It doesn't more work.
I can just think of that car talking back to him doing the whole thing.
Okay, golf clubs, yet another way to skin a cat. That's what Ryan says. Here's Tim Riley.
Robert De Niro moving into the world of reality television. Variety reports that the actor and director is teaming on a new project with R.J. Cutler, who produced the FX show Black White. No word on the specifics, but it's expected to air on NBC. The concept behind the new series is simple, and it's amazing nobody else has done it so far, whatever that might be. De Niro will not appear on the show. That's a new concept.
That's the new concept.
Star in a show you don't appear on. That is a new concept.
Does anybody watch Black White?
No.
Black White is one of those shows that I got to admit that it gets watched in our house. That Laura watches more than I do. I've watched it one time or two, but it's one of those amazingly simple concepts that it is what they keep trying to do to this show, which is to give it the one sentence description that makes you want to tune in, and it is like Black Like Me, but with a whole family.
Yeah.
And so they take a bunch of white people and they spray paint them black. And they take a bunch of black people and they spray paint them. They're a black family living white. They're a white family getting down. And then they follow the white man who's it's incredibly racist, but I swear to God, this is the show. And Ice Cube is one of the producers of it, which is of course because I am white and lame myself. That's what got me interested. Ice Cube, I'm there. And so like they'll show like the white guy who worked at Inatech or whatever. They've spray painted him brown and given him like a dashiki to wear. And so now they're following him around. He's going to like African pride meetings and beating a drum or something. It's the most cringe inducing show. It's so awful to see, because you and I both know
like
the
awful
pain.
Awful in a good way or awful in a bad way?
No, awful in a bad way. I quit watching. But like when you're Lara though, they're sort of indistinguishable. Like awful good and awful bad. They sort of blend together. But I got real low tolerance for reality programming anyway. But, like, we all know the white guy who acts black. Who?
Brian Kipe.
The Bling Master. Well, yeah. We all know that guy. But imagine like, if he suddenly woke up and had, like, a natural and brown skin. Imagine how black.
Oh, a soul man.
Yes. Yes. Yes, they're taking a page of the C. Thomas Howell.
Have you seen him lately?
No.
He was
no
just on
has.
A recent movie.
He no,
was on
he
a recent
wasn't.
Movie on Lifetime.
He was not. Uh-huh. C. Thomas Howell was in nothing recently except the unemployment office.
Nope.
Whatever you say.
Oh, it was War of the Worlds, a made-for-TV movie on Lifetime. Not that long ago, like a month or so
like
ago.
Like War of the Worlds, like H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds?
Yeah, like the Tom Cruise movie that he just did last year. But only without Tom Cruise and Thomas.
And viewers.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
it didn't even look like him early.
Well, no, C. Thomas Howell, he's like 70 now.
Yeah.
The last thing I saw C. Thomas Howell in. Boy, that's a bizarre phrase you don't hear too. Today on the Rick Emerson Show.
That
the last thing you saw
everyone.
C. Thomas Howell in. that'll drive us right to that 50 share.
That'll end up on the Travel Channel.
Try explaining that to the consultant guy at, seems here, Lloyd, hold on, I'm referring to my notes. At 12:52, you did a call-in topic. The last thing I saw C. Thomas Howell in.
We would have never done that in L.A. in 1958.
I don't understand. When I was at KVI in Seattle, this is not the sort of compelling talk that we would have... you're fired. In my way, it's like the Chinese fortune cookie in bed thing. Like, all those conversations just end with, you're fired. C. Thomas Howell, I saw him in The Hitcher 2. Which does not have Rutger Hauer, but it, The Hitcher 2, and again, he's only in it for like 2 minutes. He's in it, they totally have the, with C. Thomas. It's either with or featuring or special guest appearance or something.
It was a small reel that somebody kept in the cookie jar.
Yes. Like, totally, like his...
They spliced it in.
I have the last footage he ever shot, and it's, he's totally, and he's all bald and puffy and, hey, this is from Jim. Jim says, here's my application to be a Coin 6 anchor. You'll have to imagine the laugh. Sounds like that cat got the short end of the stick. Zing. Okay. Are these people calling about C. Thomas Howell?
I don't know.
Let's find out, shall we? Do you even want to be here today?
I do.
You don't seem very into...
I'm a little PMS-y.
Are you a little hungover?
No.
Not at all?
Not at all.
What are you most?
I'm premenstrual.
Okay.
I'm a little grumpy.
I'm a little
bit... You and I have like this time once a month where we don't rub each other the right way. Today's one of those days.
What do you mean we don't rub each other the right way? I think that's a one-way proposition.
The things that come out of your sweet, sweet little mouth just don't rub the right way with me.
Okay. I swear to God, earlier today, and this is the second time, I heard a song on Couple that contained the phrase, you've got a pretty mouth. I swear to God I heard it this morning. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, it's Dave.
Dave, are you calling about C. Thomas Howell?
I hate to admit it, but yeah.
Eat that, consultant guy. All right, what's the last thing you saw C. Thomas Howell in?
2 weeks ago, he was on 24, believe it or not.
No.
Yeah, I swear.
C. Thomas Howell, Soul Man,
yeah.
C. Thomas Howell?
Yeah, sad. But, he was banging Jack's daughter.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, go figure.
Did
all
she
right,
know
then.
That she was with C. Thomas Howell?
Did
because he doesn't look the same.
Did she use the phrase, and by the way, this phrase is from Soul Man, where the white college liberal girl is having sex with C. Thomas Howell, who is in blackface. So this is an actual phrase where she says, I can feel the 400 years of oppression in every pelvic thrust.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I remember that, dude. That was horrific.
Oh, it's the worst movie ever. It's the worst movie ever made. All right, thank you, sir.
You bet.
Yeah. Yeah, Soul Man is the worst film in existence. There's never been a movie worse than that. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Chuck, cell phone, fifth generation listener and caller.
Thank you, sir. Chuck, are you calling about the last place you saw C. Thomas Howell?
No, I got a glib witticism.
Oh, all right. You can tell this is a really sophisticated show that we do here. We basically only got...
I don't even know who C. Thomas Howell is.
You have to go run Soul Man.
Yes, do it now.
Wasn't he in The Outsiders?
Yeah, he was.
Okay, that's right.
He was in The Outsiders. Yeah, yes, go run Soul Man now. For the love of God, whatever you do, Chuck. What is your glib witticism for the Coin 6 Bobcat story?
Okay, they got the cat, but did he get the birdie?
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Chuck.
There you bet.
All right, there you go. It's not as easy as it looks to be an anchor. Yes, it is. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Churchgoers at a Somerset County, Pennsylvania church encountered some devilish behavior during a service. Police said that three children, ages 14, 16, and 17, dressed in black gothic and / satanic clothing.
What is satanic clothing?
That is gothic / satanic clothing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Two different aisles of Hot Topic.
St. Andrew's Church on Main Street about 9:40 in the morning. The children from nearby towns also painted satanic symbols on their faces.
You're saying it the right way, too. Satanic. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Once right. inside the church, police say they yelled and screamed profanities and obscene language at the congregation. Each is charged with harassment and stalking, as well as disorderly.
You know, it's so great to be a 14-year-old where it's like, you don't have to think about what you want to do to irritate people. What should we do? Paint pentagrams in our faces and go dance in the middle of a church service. All right. And then go to Sherry's and buy nothing for 5 hours. Let's go. And that's it. Rick C. Thomas Howell was in 24 this season as some agent, and his character lost his wife. All right, there you go. What else? Dear Rick. Oh, this is a glib witticism about Bobcat tragedy. He's just doing the alliteration. Feral fairway feline fells foursomes the. Another word, I don't have. Oh, fogey. I'm sorry. Feral fairway feline fells foursomes fogey. That's Andy. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
That was C. Thomas Howell.
I was just going to say, maybe it's C. Thomas Howell. The best part was Chuck's delivery on the, I don't know who that is. Yes, Rents, we should have a Soul Man screening. We should get together and we should screen Soul Man somewhere now.
My friend Lisa just wrote me and said she has a copy of it on VHS.
Why?
I don't know.
Well, old boyfriend left it with her or something?
You know what? That's like the last movie I would think that she'd own. I have no idea.
Jesus.
We might as well screen it. We've got a couple of vacant theaters next door, don't we?
Oh, good times. All right. Do we have to break?
Sure.
Okay. I'll tell you what, kids, we're going to break here. We'll come back with more discussion of C. Thomas Howell.
Not really.
And so forth. We got to talk about Listener Party 9, which is coming up. It's coming up Thursday, April 20th, Sabalas, Mount Tabor, 7 p.m. We are just 15 days away from that. Listener Party 9. We're going to talk. We'll talk a little bit more today. I'm going to do a whole thing about where you talk a little bit more today about possible Listener Party names, because there's this whole controversy that yesterday, which Sarah was yelling at me about. Before the show, we'll talk about the controversial and much debated name that was submitted yesterday, on which there is no middle ground. We'll talk about that. What else? We'll get to the news pile. Later on, we'll talk to Matt the Law Lindland. He'll be sitting here, and more of your phone calls, etc. Like us at 3, world famous Phil Henry Show at 7. You stay there. It is the Rick Emerson Show right here in Johnson 970.